A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
The access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Powered by G2G Bars and you. Thanks for listening to us on the program. Joining us right now, courtesy of Spherion.com, the coach, Tim Lacombe. Are you a business owner? Do you have better things to do than just job hunt or scramble to find a great hire? So let Spherion do it for you. Spherion Staffing and Recruiting, Spherion.com/Utah. The coach joining us here on the program. Coach, thanks for being with us, man. This is a big day. You got NFL hires across the board. You got the Big 12 schedule dropping. You got the Jazz back in action after a couple days off, some rare multiple days off. Where do you want to start, man?
Well, I comment on a cool day for BYU. Long time coming. And, you know, so excited for Tom and everybody down there has worked so hard to get that schedule and see their name on it. Man, it's crazy. So, I live about a mile from the stadium. I'm excited for some of those games to roll through. And rumor has it the Party Hounds may be playing the Plaza one night. So
stay tuned. Oh. Hey, you know what?
We will be glued to the TV.
Is it going to be Cougar Canyon? You guys are going to be jamming on Cougar Canyon, bro?
Yes, and I've signed a letter that we won't sing anything even close to, you know, anything that would destroy the canyon.
Or just don't swear. Just can't be swearing.
It just says if you do swear, it's got to be biblical in nature, and that'll
Cougar Canyon. Who are you?
Cougar Canyon, what's up? Look, Cougar Canyon hops, man, before those games. So if you guys are out there, you know, and I just imagine you and the hair rocking it and just being like, this is the kind of culture that we need right now up Cougar Canyon.
Well, we were talking to Jeremiah Jensen from KSL TV just before you came on, and he said the week that Utah plays Oregon, BYU is playing Texas.
Can you
get
imagine?
Out of here?
Yeah,
so
man.
Cool, isn't it?
And that's just awesome. That's what it is. That's what we've become, and that's just super exciting for anyone that likes sports. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, the cool, that is a cool comment, and somebody has lived in these here parts most of my life. I would say that's a dream come true for a lot of people. So, anyway, probably, you know, enough on that, but start with that because I think it's pretty darn cool.
It's awesome.
Obviously, a ton of stuff flying around the NBA and the Jazz right in the middle of a playoff race.
It's really fun too because you see Walker Kessler gets invited today, named to the Rising Stars little mini tournament they're doing. Do you like the setup that they're doing now, where they're going to have, I think it's four teams and kind of a round robin of games?
Any change is a good change with this. All-Star game was really cool. I remember racing on my television back in the 80s to watch the dunk contest, but it kind of topped out, you know. So I like the fact that they're changing it up, changing the energy, and it should be really fun. I mean, the fact that it's here, I mean, come on. We're all going to love it.
You know, we were we have our, of course, Jazz at 30 updates, and Will Hardy, coach of the Jazz, mentioned, he goes, you know, it's really hard for me. I have so many good players, and it's a hard choice, like who goes in the game and when they go in, and can that be detrimental to a team, or is that a good problem to have?
No, I think it can be a good problem. You know, anything that kind of gives you a little bit of experience is helpful, but definitely something that could go the other way too. But I would probably say that it's probably positive in the long run.
And you look at some guys who, you know, are going, well, I need to get my shot, man. I need more minutes. I think the way he put it was, is if you sat down and they had their lawyer in front of you, they could probably make an argument for why they need minutes every night, and they probably wouldn't be wrong. And so that balance that Will Hardy's having to figure out, that's as much of the coaching game as anything else that he's dealing with this team.
No, there's no question about that. But I also think he's approached it really well. You know, I've seen it's hard. It's hard to manage depth. It's hard to manage your bench. And I think what he's actually done is he's taken a bunch of guys who, at this point in the season, you know a little bit about traditionally, but he's given everybody an opportunity as they've earned it to get out there. And so I think as a fan base, all the way to the end of the bench, we haven't seen a lot of Potter, but beyond that, everybody can kind of speak to somebody like Nickeil Alexander-Walker and what he can do, what his strengths are, what he struggles with. Certainly seen THT quite a bit. So, yes, it's a problem. It can be a problem, but I think the way Will's gone about it, he's actually made that, you know, something that could be a problem, a real strength.
So you have the lineup of Markkanen, Kessler, Olynyk, Clarkson, and Connolly. What do you like about that lineup?
Pretty versatile. You know, I'm one that the more shooting you can get on the floor, the better. So in that instance, you've got four guys and they're spaced out that you've got to close out to. Olynyk, you know, is a good three-point shooter and can have nights where he makes multiple shots. You've got the ability also on that to play a lot of ball screen. Everybody's capable there. And then Lowry, to me, is just the ultimate mismatch. What do you do with him? Who do you guard him with? And what does that do? Say you put a more agile and perhaps a better defender on Lowry and maybe a smaller guy on Kelly, and Kelly gets a free run at the offensive glass. Every night's a little bit different, but I think overall that's what's great about that lineup. You don't have a lot of guys that can make plays, and you don't have a lot of space eaters, guys that teams don't have to guard and then get involved in other stuff, you know, and cause issues for other guys.
Is that the best lineup the best starting lineup the Jazz have? Is that?
You know what? There's actually a way to track that by number. But I think in terms of matching them and versatility and everything, you know, I think it's definitely makes as much sense as anything, because again, you want to, you know, you come off the bench then and you bring Jared Vanderbilt, who's, you know, you think about Vanderbilt, Scott and Alex, I'll let you guys answer this. When you think about Vanderbilt, what are some of the real strengths he brings to the game?
He's the amount of energy that Vando has is maybe as good or better than anybody else on the team.
Yeah, when he's got that energy, you know, when he's playing with good energy, that's a great one. I think that clears that we've got a winner on that one. Ding, ding, ding. What else? Give me another.
Well, he's versatile. I mean, he's a guy you've seen bring the ball down the court and shown an ability to pass the ball, but he's also a guy that, you know, can defend bigger players, and he's a very good defender.
Yeah, and he's had a night, you know, 8 assists. So, a guy that can play with the ball in his hands. I would say the thing that's hard about him, and when he and Walker are out there together, if you look at spacing, you know, teams can kind of cheat off of them, and they can get further away from them and more into the line of Clarkson and Lowry. And so to even it out, to have four shooters out there space it out, makes closeouts a little bit longer. And so I think, you know, by virtue of that, it's a good move. I think they are probably the best, you know, in terms of being able to operate out there. I really like that lineup.
Tim Lacombe joining us, the coach, of course, breaking down the Jazz pre-half and post-game with Jake Scott. And tomorrow the Toronto Raptors are coming into town. Next four games are at home. They've talked about how important these five games are at home. They got the first one against the Mavs. They're going to have the Mavericks again in town, probably with Luka this time around next week. But in this stretch right here, is there a shot for them to win out these ones at home? They certainly haven't been very good on the road compared to being at home.
Yeah, I think there is a chance. They've got Toronto coming up, you know, and there's a ton of talk around Toronto that, you know, OG Anunoby's a guy's name thrown around a lot. Fred VanVleet's name's thrown around a lot. So teams, you know, up against the deadline, got a lot on their minds, and they're on the road. So I think the Jazz, you know, got a good chance with some rest to get that one. And then you've got Atlanta after that. I like the Jazz in that game at home. I just think the Jazz physicality. Dallas makes their return. You know, last time the Jazz faced Dallas was the last game. The Jazz won that 108-100 without Luka. So certainly a game they can win with or without him. And then Rudy Gobert finishes it off. He makes his second trip to Salt Lake and hopefully won't shoot after the, you know, shoot a meaningless shot at the end and kind of sour the way that night he came here was crazy. But long answer, yes, I think they can win all four. I think of those four, probably the Minnesota game, with how they're playing, that's probably the one that stands out as the tough Dallas, obviously, if Luka's back.
So what's the best, like, strategy for the Jazz to finish out the season? You know, is it to I don't know, what do you think it is? Is it to make trades? Is it to ride this season out? Is it to try to finish in a certain spot? What's the best strategy for the Jazz?
So I think, as always, right now, I think what they're looking at is opportunity. It does seem to be a much more of a you know, there's a lot more guys available. You know, you'd kind of hope that Mike Conley might be the only guy, you know, if you're going to make a move and that price gets driven up. But it's going to be pretty selective out there. And I know this. The Jazz are probably looking at and involved in everything. But I would say you can continue to progress with the team, you know, with their mindset. I know they've got the standings posted on the door of the locker room that was talked about. So to them, it's, you know, finishing strong and figuring out a way to get into the playoffs. If a trade were to happen, you know, is it a trade that actually accelerates that? Is it a trade that slows that down? I think both are probably on the table. And really, I've answered this question almost the same every week, and I feel stupid about it, but it really is true. I feel like until moves are made, we really don't know. But I do believe that the end game is to continue to improve this franchise. And whether that's done, you know, quickly, where they can get something done right away, or something down the road, ultimately Coach Hardy's, you know, his mission is the same: get this team through as well as possible. You know, they talk about the playoffs a lot, so that's what my mind is on. And the games have really slowed down. They played so many early that this is going to come back to really help the Jazz, you know, to have them really fresh down the stretch. So your guess is as good as mine. I think we can get way more definitive February 9th when the trade deadline comes and goes.
You know, I saw you tweeted out today. There was just like, wow, the Phoenix Suns are expecting to make significant changes in their roster. Sources saying that the team has come to terms with the likelihood that Chris Paul is starting to decline. I thought, wow, that is like a duh moment, I guess, there. But you tweeted out simply windows close, and that Suns team had a shot, and it went away pretty darn quick, or at least this iteration of them.
And honestly, guys, unless you're, you know, the Warriors and you've got that nucleus that kind of hangs together and every playoff run, you know, every time the playoffs come around, those guys are getting united, and I guarantee they'll be in the middle of everything. Beyond that, you know, windows do. They're very narrow. We saw it here in Utah. Just about the time we all got excited about the Jazz kind of being mentioned in contender status, it was pretty much gone. And so you do have to make all these decisions leading up to it, do the very best job you can. But in the end, only one team can win, and that's what makes this so awesome and so aggravating all at the same time.
Tim Lacombe, if you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. It's just T. Lacombe, @T. Lacombe, and then you get some of those breakdowns. And periodically you'll get a You'll just get these nuggets of wisdom from Tim Lacombe across all sports and everything in between. Plus, he lists jobs for Spherion right there too. So if you're looking for gigs on top of sports takes, you get them from Tim Lacombe. Thanks, Coach. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Hey, thank you all so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. There's the coach.
always welcome.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Well, we got to give away some tickets. Is that what you said? Let's give away some tickets then. We got Jazz Mavericks tickets for next week on February 6th. A pair of tickets to call number 12 right now. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-6397. 888? No, I'm just kidding. 801 KSL Zone. That's how you have to remember it. 801-575-ZONE. Call number 12. I'm trying to really throw off the people who aren't true followers. Jer, come on. I'll throw out just a bunch of different phone numbers. You pick the real one. That's how we do it on contesting here. 801-575-ZONE. Call number 12. Get some pair of tickets to the Mavericks and the Jazz next week. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got our 2-minute drill around the corner. Such a ridiculous day of news and so many things to talk about. So we'll try to put a bow on this hour at least, and we'll come back. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.